Lisa Lanier, I guess your weekend's not as exciting as ours. Good morning.
No, not nearly. I've missed out on the Nashville series.
That's right up your alley, Lisa.
I wouldn't call it missed out.
You need to get that now. That's a good show. You do. You need to get in with that. How are you? It's good to talk to you.
I'm doing great. I hope you guys are.
We are. Now, Lisa's our official attorney here. She's president of the Lanier Law Group. We have three different stories on Lawyer Up, her segment, to get through today. But before we get to any of it, we'll ask the question that all P1 listeners want to know the answer to, especially the guys. What are you wearing today?
All right. This may be the raciest thing you've ever caught me wearing.
Okay.
Are you ready? So I'm wearing red Minnie Mouse sweatpants. They are they're like capri style sweatpants.
Uh-huh.
And a white wife beater t-shirt.
Oh yeah. We've got it pictured.
I'm going all class today.
Yeah. Okay.
You should put on some furry slippers and go to Walmart just like that.
Exactly. I'm going to put some rollers in my hair.
And there you go.
I think you should wear that and represent somebody in court today.
Yes.
Get in there and, you know, get down with the people and represent.
Now, I'll go to district court and I'll fit right in. Yeah. Traffic court.
Yeah, exactly. There is a college student who has filed a human rights complaint against his teacher and the school in Ontario because the guy went in to the University of Toronto. He was the only guy in a class about women's issues. And he said he was too shy to attend the class, but he never went back again. He went one day. He never went back, but he kept on doing the work. And he says that, and he got terrible grades on assignments, ended up failing the course, which he said was really frustrating because he had spent the money on the course materials. He wanted to do the work, but the teacher never gave him any latitude because he had such a shyness. He couldn't be around all the women in the class. He was the only guy in the class. So he is saying, this is not right. I should be allowed to take this class. I should get my money back on the class and get a better grade and be allowed to do it differently. We pretty much laughed him out of our little courtroom here yesterday when we heard about this, Lisa. What do you think about it?
Yeah, you were right about that. In fact, his claim has already been dismissed. This happened in Canada. They have a labor review board that decides if these kinds of claims can go forward. And his has already been kicked out. And it should be, because he's not saying that he was discriminated against because of a characteristic that is inherent to his gender or his sex. He's saying, you know, shyness, men or women can be shy.
Yeah.
So for the characteristic to be discriminatory, it has to be something like pregnancy or breastfeeding that both sexes cannot do. And so it's very right. And what I don't understand is, why didn't he just drop the class? I mean, every college has the drop ad time period, and he could have dropped the class.
That's what we said. And it was really weird because he wanted to do the class, but he couldn't go to the class because he was so shy around all the women in the class. It was a very weird.
Ridiculous. And anybody knows that those gender studies classes are all women. I mean, there's never a guy in a gender studies class.
Yeah.
Right?
I never took one.
I never been to one. And so he basically just missed the boat on that, you know. Are you surprised I never took a gender studies class, Biggie?
No, I'm just not shocked that any dudes don't go at all.
I mean,
like, we got everything figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. We know what we're doing at age 19, right?
Yeah.
A great way to appear sensitive.
Some of those gender studies classes are kind of, I think, kind of like militant and a little bit threatening to guys. I took one in college, and the teacher came in the first day of class, and there was one guy, he was a friend of mine, and he was in the class, and she looked right at him, and she said, for those of you, and she was kind of looking at him, for those of you who brush your teeth every morning beside your oppressor, you may not be comfortable in this class.
Wow.
She says oppressor. She looks right at him. And he got up about halfway through the class. And he walked out and he was like, just dropping it.
But I think Dieter made a good point. You could appear to be sensitive to women's issues and perhaps, you know, form a relationship.
Play it the right way.
If you play it just right, you know, got to get through the class.
Yeah.
Speaking of Canada
Absolutely.
Now.
I think it would be a good way to get women.
Oh, yeah, you'd think so. More guys should try it. There's a guy who's in Canada this morning. He's from Kentucky. He's a military man, and he and his wife were driving in upstate New York in September. They were misdirected by their unreliable GPS, and they wound up accidentally getting in the line for the Canadian border. So they got through there, and the guy said, you know, do you have any weapons or anything? The guy at the border crossing. And he said, I don't want to go into Canada. Can I turn around? And the guard said, no, you have to go into Canada now. You're in this line of traffic. Then he said, I do have a concealed carry permit for one gun. Unfortunately, they found another gun that he had forgotten about in the center console of the car. And now he's looking at literally 3 years in a Canadian jail. And it just seems all to be a mistake. I mean, if you believe the guy's story, he is really in a terrible position here. What will happen? What can he do, Lisa, to get himself out of jail?
Well, you know, I'm afraid that he is he's going to actually face some jail time here. And it's I feel for the guy. He's a highly decorated U.S. military veteran. Like he was, you know, career military guy and just sounded like a good guy. I mean, two problems. Number one, the quote, forgetting, you know, that he had the gun in the car made him look like a liar, made him look like he was trying to conceal it and bring it into the country. And Canada just does not play about gun control. They have very strict gun control laws. They think we're a bunch of nuts. And they have a huge problem with people in Canada who, because of the strict gun control laws, cannot legally acquire guns. So there's a huge smuggling trade that goes on.
So they're afraid he's doing this.
Oh, yeah, they have zero tolerance for it. I mean, you know, he crossed the border. He had a gun hidden in his car, so...
But he didn't want to cross the border. He said, let me turn around. And they said no to him. That's where I think he could have a case, because he said when he went into the border, I don't want to go into Canada. And they said, sorry.
Yeah, he made a mistake.
Too late.
Part of it is really the most sympathetic part of all. But, yeah, they just do not play. He's going to have some issues. There have been actually many instances of this sort of thing with concealed guns getting smuggled into Canada where they've cracked down and they've thrown Americans into jail right and left.
Man, wow. That's crazy. Now, here's a crazy question. He says his GPS malfunctioned and caused him to do it. Does he have a suit against the GPS maker?
Well, you certainly are seeing a lot of those because a lot of people are getting into accidents and things. I mean, and part of it is user error, and there's some contribution there because, you know, people are driving off cliffs and driving into buildings and stuff because they're so focused on their GPS.
Right.
But that is definitely an emerging trend, is people suing these GPS manufacturers for not having these updated maps available.
Yeah. I think the GPS should probably put a disclaimer before it. We could be wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, right at the very beginning, when you turn it on, you just have to hit a button and it says these directions might be inaccurate.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe you should look forward and see what's to be
right.
seen.
Right, then they've got themselves covered. This one was, we talked about this a minute ago, and I stuck up for, the big money Port-a-John maker a moment ago. This happened in Pennsylvania. A guy named Donald Adams was on a camping trip. Two relatives backed a truck into a toilet to try to lock him inside as a prank. They wound up knocking over the Port-a-John and paralyzing this man, Donald Adams. He is now a quadriplegic. He has sued the toilet manufacturer for $5 million, and he won. And my question was, why? That is not their fault. You know, somebody else, his relatives, knocked him down with the truck. How is it that they lost all this money? Apparently, it was installed properly. And don't you think, it seems to me they're all installed properly if this one was. What do you think, Lisa?
Yeah, and actually, this the case has settled, so he didn't actually go to a jury trial. And what happened was he actually sued all his cousins.
He did.
And he also included the people who manufactured and who installed the toilet, because he says that it was on a big slope, so it made it, when they bumped it, it rolled, you know, pretty bad, big roll down this hill.
Yeah.
But I think it's not clear from the news reports that I saw how each party contributed to the settlement. I'm guessing that he probably collected from a number of insurance policies, including all his cousins' homeowners insurance, if they had umbrella policies, as well as the auto policy for the vehicle that was used to knock the thing over. So, you know, it may be that the manufacturer didn't really contribute anything here or contributed very little, because the news reports I read said that the manufacturer continued to deny any liability and put all the blame on the cousins.
Well, yeah. I mean, I hate to say, but I think 80% of the blame is on the cousin. Mm-hmm. They backed into the Port-a-John. You know, it wouldn't have fallen over if they hadn't have done it. And every Port-a-John I see, and Kristen was talking about how they're supposed to have regulations where they're staked into place, but every one I see is on concrete. I use it at the Lexington Barbecue Festival every year. Number three.
And if any time it's going to tip over.
Preach on it.
Yeah,
it's after Kelly hits the barbecue festival.
Listen, I use it at the end of the day. On the way out, back to the car, old number three.
Goes right through you.
Well, we're there a long time, and we're walking.
How many sandwiches run through you at a typical barbecue festival?
I go three. I get two early, and then we walk, and I get a little something sweet. And then I get a third sandwich for the road and eat it while we're walking out.
What, if it's for the road?
Well, I don't ever make it. I don't ever make it.
Walk.
This is one of those times that I really do wonder how I am the fattest person on this show.
Go dance. You'll be okay.
Yeah, man.
I was actually involved in a case not long ago where a really large man was sitting on a toilet having a number two, and he was in a popular gas station, and the toilet itself was not properly secured, and it kind of broke and fell apart under his weight, and he was pretty significantly injured, but that was kind of a fun case.
And that man was Chris Kelly.
Did you win the case?
We did, yeah, yeah. The popular gas station paid him some money. Yeah.
I guess they did.
Oh, well.
Well, how badly was he injured? What was the extent?
He had a pretty bad back injury.
Pretty
significant.
Did you reenact it in the courtroom?
Exactly, right. No, we didn't have to go that far.
Can you tell me the name of the gas station so I can go by? See if it'll hold.
Have a seat just to see what happens.
Just to see, you know.
This is a real fat shame moment for me, but when I was in Las Vegas the last time, I noticed one day that it looked like the toilet had moved some from its base, and I realized that the 2 days of me sitting on it had slightly moved it 2 inches to the right. Because I was like, this toilet's crooked. And I was like, dear God, I moved this thing with my weight.
That's me.
It's doing all it could.
It's like a glacier, like the Ice Age. It just moves.
Was that there yesterday?
2 inches a year.
Yeah.
You just call me if you ever get hurt.
That's right.
I will.
She'll represent you.
Just call me.
She's got to Nevada. Lisa Lanier, it's always wonderful to talk to you. She's our official attorney here, LanierLawGroup.com.